Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim zocheh v'roeh b'simchasa. Chazal said anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim merits to see it in its happy state, as we should merit to see the Yerushalayim rebuilt speedily in our days. To understand why this is, like why is the key to merit to see the rebuilding of Yerushalayim through mourning over it? You know, legend has it, you know, this legend is attributed to the Ramah that supposedly speaks about in his sefer called Teras Sa'ila, which is a book about the Beis HaMikdash. So legend has it that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who wrote Sefer Eicha, he was very into mourning over the temple, and supposedly he encountered Plato, the great philosopher Plato. And Plato asked him, why does he mourn so much over the Beis HaMikdash? Michok HaChokhmet is the way of wisdom, that what's gone is gone. What's dead is dead, and you move on, and you make a new beginning for yourself, and you get on with your life. It's just not the way of wisdom to constantly mourn and get stuck on this point and mourn over it and mourn over it again and again. All right. You know, to understand the answer to that question, right, in greater detail than what's said over there, right? So we really have to ask this question from a pure halachic, and pure Jewish practice point of view. Right? God forbid a person loses a loved one, Rachman Olitzan. So the halacha of Avelos is up to 1 year, and that's it. It's up to 1 year. And then they just, do a memorial ceremony every year on the day of the passing, but it's not a day of mourning, the memorial service. It's just to give more aliyas haneshama. And we would tell a person who wants to mourn past 1 year that that's it, it's finished. Get on with your life. And that's the proper thing to tell a person, to encourage him to move on. After he's mourned what Allah has deemed the honor of the deceased, he has to get on with his life, right? And yet it's not that way at the Beis HaMikdash. It's 2,000 years away. It's not 1 year. It's 2,000 years, and the mourning is constant and perpetual, not just during the three-week period, but there are certain halachas, zecher lechorbin, that apply year-round, like by every wedding. The simcha is mitigated, with the ashes on the chassan's head, the breaking of the glass, and Yerushalayim within the old city, they can't have live music at a wedding, zecher lechorbin. In a house that you build, your house can't be 100% complete, there has to be a square amma, unfinished, zecher lechorbin. There's many other halachas, zecher lechorbin. The Jewish people are just not getting on with their lives. They're constantly mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? Right? And we still feel the pain, right? There's a gzeral mishi shtakach achrei yud beis chodesh. There's a special divine edict that the dead should be forgotten from the hearts of the living, and the pain should be mitigated after 12 months, right? And that's not the case by the Beis HaMikdash. But the truth is, because the Beis HaMikdash is not dead, that's the reason. The Beis HaMikdash is still alive, like Chazal say by Yaakov mourning for Yosef. For many, many years, he was in constant mourning for Yosef. And Chazal pointed out, there's a decree that the dead should be forgotten after 12 months. Yeah, because Yosef wasn't really dead, even though Yaakov thought he was dead, since he wasn't really dead. Right? So, the divine edict didn't kick in, because he's alive. So Yaakov felt perpetual pain over being separated from Yosef. Right? So, now, this is the case by the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, is not dead and gone, right? It's missing, like Yosef was missing from Yaakov. It's missing, but it's not dead and gone. It's not like saying it's the past and we just have to get on with our lives. Not true, right? The natural state for the world is to have a Beis HaMikdash. Chazal say, Nisava Karshok Shielo Dira Batachtonim, God desire to have a dwelling place in the lower realm, and that's the Beis HaMikdash. That's what God wanted. Right? That's already, it's part of the plan of creation itself. Right? There's a frightening chazal that's a terrible indictment against us, and all the generations that came before us. Kol dor shelo nivna beis hamikdash b'yamav kilu nechava b'yamav, any generation that the temple was not rebuilt in its days, as if it was destroyed in their days. A terrible indictment, as if we've destroyed the beis hamikdash all over again. Why? It's not, you know, we were born into an era that didn't have one. In fact, that we didn't merit to see it rebuilt, as if we destroyed it. So my Rosh Yeshiva, Yaakov Weinberg, Zichron Bracha, used to say that, yes, indeed, since it's natural for the world to have a beis hamikdash, so, you know, the beis hamikdash should have, as it were, grown back, you know, because it's natural for the world to have one. So it's like the world, in just going back to its equilibrium after any disturbance, you know, the world snaps back to an equilibrium. And if the beis hamikdash hasn't snapped back and been rebuilt, right, it means that we're actively exerting a force equivalent to destroying the temple, and that's what's barring the temple from being rebuilt, because it's natural to have a temple. It's artificial to not have a temple. So it must be that we're exerting force with our sins, a force equivalent of destroying a temple, and that's why a temple is not coming back, because it's natural to have a temple. Right, this is point is clearly brought out from Rashi in Parshas Rashi in Parshas Pikudei. Ela Pikudei Mishkan, Mishkan Eidus. These are the counting of the Mishkan, Mishkan of Testimony. Rashi brings the name Chazal, the double word Mishkan, referring to the destruction of the two temples. Even though we're talking about the Mishkan, how is it referring to the two temples built by Shlomo Melech and by Ezra? So Rashi says it's Lashon Mashkon, that it was Nit Mashkein, Mashkon, collateral. The two Batei Mikdashes were taken as collateral. Now look what's being said over here. Hear this well. It's being said that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it wasn't like destroyed as in now it's gone, it's in the past, and you know it's dead and gone. The destruction of the temple is an act of taking the Beis Hamikdash as collateral. It wasn't that, it was, you know, so it exists. We don't have access to it. So maybe for us it looks like it was destroyed because of our inability to access the Beis Hamikdash any longer, right, until Mashiach comes. Right, but from God's side and from the actual real perspective of things is that the Beis Hamikdash was just taken as collateral. It still exists, right? And it's meant to exist. It's just removed from our access. Like you take collateral from a person who's delinquent in making his payments. So the thing that you took, it's not destroyed. It's just out of access for the person who wants to access it to force him to pay up, and then he'll have it back. Right? But it still exists. It's just somewhere else. The Beis Hamikdash really exists, call it spiritually, call it theoretically, because the world was meant to have it. It was just taken as collateral from us to force us to do tshuva, to force us to be worthy of it. But in essence, it does exist. The world is meant to have it. Right? And that's why we have to constantly mourn, because it's not something that's dead and gone. Something that's dead and gone, you mourn the requisite amount, and you get on with your life, right? But if the Beis Hamikdash is not dead and gone, it's really still there, it's really meant to be, it's there, it's taken as collateral, and I have to do what it takes to redeem the collateral, to bring it back, right? And that's why I should be in mourning, because if I'm not in mourning, that means I've given up on it for being dead. And we should never give up on the Beis Hamikdash, never give up on it. And just so over there, since the Beis Hamikdash really is still around, you know, because it's meant to be, and we have to relate to the destruction of the temple, is that the temple was taken as collateral to force us to have the initiative to become worthy of it. So you know, we have to mourn over it as a sign that it's there and we're being denied access to it. You know, and if we wouldn't mourn over it, it would show that we've accepted the Beis Hamikdash as being dead. And that's the worst thing. The Beis Hamikdash is not dead. The Beis Hamikdash is something that is meant to be, right? And it's part of the present, not just a part of the past. It's part of the present. We just are being denied access to it. And that's why we have to constantly be in pain. And being in pain shows that you are connected to the Beis Hamikdash. You miss the Beis Hamikdash, right? The pain shows that you're still a part of it. The pain shows that you're still a part of it. Okay, So Reb Osher should help with the schus of our mourning, the schus that we say, we need a Beis HaMikdash Reb Osher. We know it's there by divine plan, so it's still in the dimensions of the divine plan for the world. Reb Osher, we miss it, and we want to be worthy of it. That's what expresses our connection to it, and in that merit, a person will see, you know, because he's expressed his connection to it, in that merit, a person will see it in its glory. Right, we invite our audience, we wish everyone a Tzom Kal, an easy fast, and we invite them to listen to the other audio presentations we have online, about Inyonei Beis HaMikdash, what it was about, and what we're mourning for. We invite them to listen for the duration of the day. Tzom Kal, and we should see B'nechmas Tzion B'Yushalayim, B'mehera B'Yameinu, Amen.